Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 712. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not like a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, you know, it's a nice short 3-day week. I cannot argue. And I'll actually be doing traveling for Thankmas this year, so that is nice. Not Skyping Thankmas. That's pretty cool. It's almost the most wonderful time of the year, and it's half of the most wonderful time of the year when Thankmas is here. So there's that, and I'll tell you what, Brooklyn, they always bring us a Christmas present, especially as far as a fan interaction perspective goes. I was reminded that Bret Hart was attacked in Brooklyn also. But Dax Harwood took care of that situation.
Well, I think Travis Brown was the first person to to have that under control. Dax Harwood just threw a cheap shot after it was all over. And good for him.
But, yeah, Brooklyn brought us that one. In the latest crazy Brooklyn fan story, last night during Raw, if somehow you have not seen it, Seth Rollins, he was gloating to Finn Balor in the ring, and all of a sudden he turns around to really complete his walk to the back, and blammo, he gets speared. That video was the videos that hit Twitter at that point, because Jeremy said something to me about it happening and I wasn't watching it all, so I just went to Twitter and all the clips were on there. It was the perfect venue for me to go to see the actual occurrence go down.
Oh, yeah, from all angles, we got the fan cam within minutes. It was pretty crazy. Yeah, no. Yeah, Seth got a big surprise, and that guy got a – we're going to talk about this. He got a running start. It looked like he was coming out of the entranceway. I mean, and later you would see where he came from, but oh – And the videos, the fan cam videos later. Yeah, Seth just got tackled huge, hard. It was just a wild situation, and then puts the guy in a guillotine or a front face lock. Would it be more of a guillotine or a front face lock?
I'd go with front face lock at that point. I don't think he has the leverage really to go guillotine. Like, you kind of need your hips under you to be able to crank down a little bit. So,
yeah, he puts the guy in a front face lock, which is the pro wrestler's first line of defense. Which kind of, I think you've seen that in situations before.
I was gonna say that's probably gonna subdue about 90% of the idiots that do this guardrail jumping.
But in this case, because the referees separated Seth from this guy, I think it's a very simple situation. It's more like they made him let go when they didn't have their full control of him either. So he gets back on top of Seth, and then they finally. Extra security gets involved. More referees, extra security gets involved, and then they finally get him down and take him out of there while Seth is cursing up a storm.
Actual security and not wrestlers dressed up as security.
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah, that it was. Yeah, that was so wild. Like, the whole don't show it thing isn't really going to work for most places now. Like, I didn't think about this Just because, you know, the NFL has long had a no showing anyone streaking / doing anything dumb on the field. Like, everyone generally does it. But, man, that information gets out real quick, like, these days. So I guess there's still a good reason to keep it, not glorify it, so to speak.
No, you don't want to glorify it, but this got pretty damn big. I mean, this made Good Morning America this morning. You know,
that's how big it was?
Yeah, it made Good Morning America at the very least, yes. Not that anyone watches regular TV anymore, but yeah, but yeah, no. It became a pretty big deal. Yeah, this is hopefully this is not a situation where more and more people get encouraged to do this. Although this guy had his reasons. And let's just get into those. Okay, about 2 years ago, this man supposedly was reached out to on Instagram direct messages by Seth Rollins. They struck up a quote unquote friendship. The guy asked him for four. The guy, Seth Rollins, asked him for $500 in, I believe, Target gift cards.
Oh my god. Okay, I did not remotely hear this part. Go on, please.
Yeah, he got it to him. Then, of course, ghosted him. And this guy has been stewing for 2 years, truly believing that the real Seth Rollins ripped him off for $500 in Target gift cards.
Oh my god.
And only a global pandemic is what stopped this probably from happening sooner. Because the first chance he got tickets to an event Seth was at. I guess he couldn't make it to Madison Square Garden in September.
It is a smaller venue. So yeah. The ticket would be a little bit harder to get. Maybe there is some flaw in the Brooklyn security that does not exist at Madison Square Garden.
It seems like there might be, but you've been to Raw since they put it up. Since they changed like the entrance stage area, put all the LED stuff in, took out the ramp and the raised platform that the stage used to be on. And you've been to a Raw in the last few years, correct?
Boy, man, it's been a while since I've been to one.
Or SmackDown.
Yeah.
Because they're basically the same, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a minute.
Well, now, because they've taken the raised stage off, out.
Uh-huh.
There's no more ramp. You know, it's not, you know, the full Titantron it used to be.
Oh.
I sat at least at these seats. They have seats right off to the
side.
The left of where the wrestlers come out, maybe the right of where we're viewing it. It's a straight run. It's a straight shot.
Oh.
To just run and just essentially tackle a wrestler. if you're sitting in that area. That area is where the guy who attacked Brett was sitting.
Oh.
But he made it all the way into the damn ring. So that's even worse than a failure of security, of course.
This guy could have made it into the ring, though. It was really just if it weren't for the fact that his object of hate was on the ramp, he definitely would have made it to the ring before security did anything about it.
Oh, absolutely, he would have. Yeah, but yeah, that's something. It's been pointed out a couple of times, you know, and I have sat in those seats off the entranceway.
Oh,
yeah, there's not a lot of security. You could easily, you know, jump down from your seats and just run straight across, and as that guy did, because that guy got speed. He was running. I mean,
yeah.
I know some wannabe tough guys are trying to say that, you know, Seth should have handled that differently, or he should have really beaten that guy's ass. just the fact that he was able to get his bearings together to put on the front face lock after he was tackled like that. At the speed that guy was running, that's impressive.
Yeah, and it's not like he had that much time either. Like by the time he got the guy under control, there was more. You know, there were more people around to come and handle the situation.
Yeah.
So, like, he didn't have a whole lot of time to get his bearings together and to try and... But he also knows that if he does anything extra, that it could be a problem, too. Yes. Like, I think he's smart enough also. Like, anyone that's saying he should beat his ass or whatever probably knows that it's not really worth your while to do that.
The days where police would either drag people to the dressing room, either uncuff them or leave them cuffed and just let wrestlers beat the crap out of these people, those days have been long gone. Because that is what used to happen back in the day, in the 60s and 70s, at least. And probably into the 80s in a number of places.
Yeah. Not surprising. But yeah. Like you said, those days are at least 30 years in the past at this juncture.
Yeah.
So I don't know why you think that would happen. Yeah. I'll tell you what, those aren't, what is it? Attempted assault and what was the other, because it's another...
Disturbing an artistic performance, something of that nature that covers anything from sports to a Broadway play, I guess. Because it's New York, so you want to make it illegal to interrupt a Broadway play? I mean, yeah, I guess that's what it's for. It's a kind of a weird crime. I don't know of any other state that has it. I wouldn't know that. I don't believe it's on the books. It would be on the books in Michigan. It's just simple trespassing more than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of some dumb laws, so it wouldn't surprise me if there's one like that in Ohio. But I am not aware of its existence.
How is that attempted assault? He made contact. That is assault and battery. That should be assault and battery.
Yeah, I don't know, but I felt like that's what I read was.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Okay. So, but yeah, I'm with you. Like, I'm like, hold on, the guy. Yeah, like you said, he made contact for sure. Like, whatever, if Seth Rollins has a bloody lip, you know, the guy didn't whoop Seth Rollins' ass, he just caught him by surprise. Oh, man. What a crazy person.
And it seems like this guy still, even after a night in jail, even after being questioned by the police all night, he still believes that was actually Seth Rollins who ripped him off for $500 in Target gift cards.
And I'm gonna assume that someone has pointed out to him that the handle is not actually Seth Rollins. If he's shared that information.
Yeah, no, this fella isn't all there mentally. And that is, if this guy really has that much hatred for Seth, that is scary.
Yeah, I mean, I'll never, when situations like that happen, I always think about Dimebag Darrell getting killed here in Columbus by a crazy fan.
Yeah, no, you're right.
You know,
and this guy's already been released. I don't know if there was a bail, it was bail or not, or just released to his own recognizance until BOH trial or however that worked out. But no, I mean, it happened in Brooklyn. I assume he lives in Brooklyn. But next week's Raw is in Long Island.
Oh, jeez.
I know it's New York, and the different boroughs are distance and and space between them, and it can take a really long time with New York traffic and the subway to get from one to the other. But that's still the New York area.
Yeah, it's still fairly accessible. So yeah, I guess it's going to be pretty interesting to see what happens.
I assume this guy will not be allowed into another WWE event again for the rest of his life.
Yes. I would imagine that security is going to be a little more on top of things. Or, you know, some type of security cam will be doing a little extra overtime to make sure that this guy doesn't have a ticket. Because obviously there are ways to procure a ticket that can involve you not putting your name out there.
Yes, there are. There indeed are. You know, I don't know. That's, yeah, I don't know. That is kind of scary, especially for someone like Seth who travels everywhere with his wife and his baby. That's gotta be pretty harrowing. To know now that it was that targeted.
Oh, I mean, really? You said it that way?
What? Targeted? Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Okie doke. Yeah, that is some wild stuff. You know? Yes. That's one of those ones where you're like, if I saw that on a TV show, I'd be going, that's some bullshit going on right there. But nope, here we have it. And I guess I didn't realize that the next Monday's Raw was still in the New York area. So yeah, that really ratchets up the interest, and it's not a good hook for Raw. Come for the real violence.
And then did you see what happened at the end of the night? With the Montez Ford situation?
No.
Well, did you notice the guy in the crowd that says Montez is doo-doo?
Oh, yes.
Well, by the end of the night, apparently this guy had just been obnoxious all night long to the people around him, to the wrestlers. It finally got to the point where, because at the end of the night, at the dark match was a lumberjack match where, like, everyone was around the ring. So the guy starts heckling Montez. Montez says, "Why don't you come on down here? Why don't you come on down here?" And apparently things got even more heated. And then MVP and Sami Zayn wanted to fight the guy. just a wild night, Brooklyn.
Wow. Yeah, I guess maybe things are swinging back to an old school phase here. Maybe.
Well, this is crap's been going on ever since people got let back out of their houses and these ballparks started reopening. All the baseball fights and everything. You'd think people would be happy to be out in public again. Instead, they're just bringing their anger to out with them, like.
Oh, well, that sounds like even less of a reason for me to go to events currently then.
Yeah, if you don't want to deal with it, I get it.
Oh, man. well, I will have to say, we haven't really had any problems at the soccer games. But that's all I've been to. I haven't been to anything I haven't been to any of the wrestling events. So, wrestling events. It was Extreme Rules, jackass. So, yeah, but it did seem like the Columbus had a kind of decent crowd. I guess I will give Brooklyn that. You at least do get a reaction there.
Yeah.
Maybe a little too much of one, but a lot of fan
interactivity.
Yeah. Oh man. So I guess maybe the biggest news after that. I feel like both you and I had agreed to the fact that this was a perfect time for Roman Reigns to get an L hung on him because the championship wasn't ex at stake. That did not end up happening at the end of Survivor Series this year.
No, a lot of things didn't happen at the end of the Survivor Series. A lot of people were talked themselves into expecting an open four. Yeah, but no, Roman Reigns got the win over Big E. Really good match. Big E got a lot from it. But you could tell throughout the night when Raw won every other match that it was set up to say that Roman Reigns is the only one from SmackDown who won. So now he can hold it over the entire SmackDown locker room, including his cousins.
Oh.
I don't know how branding everyone else as losers really helps SmackDown right now when SmackDown definitely was weakened by the draft, and now they're all losers. So yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about how much Raw had won, honestly. Until that got pointed out after the fact. So yeah, I can definitely see them using that angle for Roman Reigns. Like it would almost be surprising if they don't. Honestly. And yeah, 'cause what? Like we said that his next tech challenger more than likely would be Drew McIntyre, and he got himself counted out of his match.
Well, he was. Well, I don't think we ever said the next challenger. I don't think.
Well,
I don't think they're wasting Drew at day one.
that is true, but at least one of the future one of the possible future challengers
Yeah.
didn't. Like that to me is not putting yourself in a position to be the next guy to challenge him. Not to...
No, and I don't think he was ever gonna be.
Yeah.
When they made the decision that they made to have Raw win every other match but the main event, they had to figure a way to get Drew out of that match without pinning him, and they didn't want to pin Lashley either, so have them both get counted out fighting each other.
Yeah, that was kind of an easy problem solved situation.
Yeah, and that's been the story of Survivor Series since the very beginning. How to get people out of these matches you don't want pinned in an elimination match.
Yeah, that's why. Oh, and I guess that's the other thing that we did talk about last week that and since we're on the Survivor Series matches themselves, King Woods put out some stakes that he thought should be relevant for the Survivor Series matches, and those did not come to fruition.
No, they did not. No. They completely ignored that. And so I think, didn't we both, or at least you said that they're probably not going to go through with it?
Yes, I was very doubtful of the situation. I love it. I mean, Wood's idea is awesome. Just to be clear, but yeah, I didn't. It seemed like you're locking in too good of spots for the Royal Rumble. But again, like you need some stakes. Like no one cares about Raw versus SmackDown, really. You know how they've tried to force this situation for how many years, and they haven't gotten that much traction. Most of the times that they've had good Survivor Series matches, it's just been a heel versus a babyface in the match, rather than having, you know, like two baby faces that are champions squaring off, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, they've had some excellent matches out of this all-star game feel for Survivor Series. You know, Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan, Brock Lesnar versus AJ Styles immediately comes to mind. Some of the NXT stuff they did. The only ever Charlotte versus Ronda one-on-one match. So it's first, and some of the invasion stuff, you know, could be kind of cool. Obviously, that helped birth the man, Becky Lynch. The Becky Lynch is the man run.
No.
So, but this year, following the footsteps of last year, which obviously was going to be the pandemic year, you know, Thunderdome year anyway. Yeah, they just didn't really put a lot into this. The most interest of any single match for this show was in the match between Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch in Wonder of Wonders. That was ended up being the best match of the night, and the match the live crowd was most into.
Yeah, that one really could have / maybe should have been the main event. I really loved that match.
Yeah, that match was excellent. Yeah, that was one of the better matches they've had against each other. They've had some really good to great matches against each other in the past as well.
I think that they really leaned into. At some point last week, there were so many Becky is bad-mouthing Charlotte on radio spots after we recorded that I'm just like, oh, they're just leaning into this. There was discord backstage about the championship situation.
Yeah.
And it's just become an angle now.
Oh yeah, no. I never believed that the match was gonna fall apart while they were out there, especially since it's not like the Charlotte Nia Jax situation where something happened in the heat of the moment.
Oh,
they had time to smooth this out, and they knew that the world was gonna be watching. So at this point,
yeah, but yeah, so with that part being said, I thought they did a great job of leaning into the animosity that was at least in the air with the style of match that they wrestled.
They were very aggressive. They were very aggressive. They didn't do a lot of their early, especially they didn't do a lot of their fancier moves. It felt like a brawl. It felt like a fight. That's partially because, you know, once again, you know. And the announcers were really cued into it. They know each other so well, so they both utilize unorthodox tactics to get over on the other one.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a really well executed match. Even with the finish was really good. Because you always expect some type of, like you said, since they're putting champions versus champions, they always try to have some caveat in there for the losing champion. It was fun for Charlotte Flair to get caught cheating, and then to have Becky Lynch, I thought she did a great job of selling, looking at the referee and making sure he wasn't looking prior to her hooking her arm. The only problem with that is that by the time her arm's around the rope, I'm like, well, it's almost three already. But anyway, I think that that's great. A great way to tell the story. It gives Charlotte an out and also gives her another beef with Becky Lynch. Because they are going to face each other again at some juncture.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
So yeah, that was a lot of fun, and that was one too that I thought that the way Big E versus Roman Reigns played out was very good too. Like, they did a really great job of having a power match that, you know, intentionally dragged in some spots because they were both using so much energy. And I thought that that was really great, too.
That match was very, very good as well, yeah.
Other than that, yeah, there wasn't... the rest of the matches were just okay. You know?
That's about where they landed. It was just okay, yeah. The elimination matches end up being the weakest part of the show.
Because
they're not set up the way that the elimination matches used to be set up. to say the least. With, you know, face versus heel teams that they were, you know, back in the day, the teams having names, you could tell the teams were meant to have camaraderie, whereas these teams are just thrown together. The team members are made to fight each other week after week because apparently that builds your brand loyalty and your camaraderie.
Yeah, and I mean, you can have one guy walk out first thing in a match just because.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, did Bad News Brown do that to his team like a long time ago?
He did that two years in a row, yes.
So I think it is a time-honored tradition. Yeah, that men's match that really chewed up some scenery.
Yeah, it did. Although Kevin Owens later the night on Twitter celebrating winning, being on the winning team was funny.
Oh, that's pretty hilarious. I did not see that, but that's some good stuff. KO is still doing some excellent work. One way or the other. I'm trying to think. Yeah, because we got the two. In the. The 25-man battle royal for everyone who was not in a tag team match. I forgot about that.
The hashtag Rock 25 20-man over the top rope battle royal sponsored by Pizza Hut. A lot going on there. And the hilarious part is that match made more money than anything else on the show because between Red Notice and Pizza Hut. They probably made millions off of that.
Oh, man. Jeremy was so angry. I did not watch that part of Survivor Series live and went back to watch it later. He was so heated about the whole Pizza Hut thing. He's like, their pizza fucking sucks. I'm like, uh-huh. Like, why are you this angry about a Pizza Hut ad? Like, after seeing it, I'm like, I guess I don't feel like it was any more over the top than some of the other stuff that the WWE has done for food sponsors. So I was like, oh my gosh, man.
Zombies are real in WWE canon now. You realize that.
Well, that's fine. I mean, they've been real for a while at this point, right?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. But yeah, that match was completely designed to, sell pizza. And, yep. Good for them. I guess good for them for getting that money. Man, And I guess this was also the first pay-per-view they've done where they are now blatantly putting ad breaks into the $4.99 Peacock tier. Those of us on the $9.99 Peacock tier don't get to see the actual commercials. We get long, extended video hype videos during this period. So there really is no advantage to being on a $9.99 plan because the breaks are the same.
Well, I've started to notice that with other streaming services recently, because we've been taking advantage of ESPN Plus to watch some more hockey on my end for the most part. And when you're watching an ESPN commercial then, essentially, or a Disney Plus commercial, instead of watching the commercials that are on TV, and it's just like, alrighty, here we are.
I guess they have to still have to build their ad breaks into live TV.
Stuff they do. I guess maybe the announcers kind of need a break in between. It would almost be hilarious / probably lead to problems if the announcers just had to babble for the whole game. That would be pretty wild.
For WWE though,
oh,
they could probably try doing some type of like they used to do do the quick promos, you know, in between matches or in between during these segments. Because remember the early days, 30-hour pay-per-views had intermissions attached to them. They still gave the audience in the arena that their break to go to the bathroom and go to the concession stand. We were treated to in those early pay-per-views, we were treated to just a procession of interviews. You could possibly do something like that instead of playing a really long Bobby Lashley video after he's already had his match for no reason.
I would enjoy that because that's the one thing when I do watch, and I think I mentioned this to Jeremy and not necessarily you, that when I do watch the highlights on YouTube, they have a lot of backstage content on YouTube. It's just like, I would be okay if those backstage interviews were on the, on the broadcast during that time period.
Yeah, absolutely should be. Some of them are very, very good. Did you see the one Becky did after Survivor Series?
Where she actually
broke down crying about the whole situation with Charlotte, she just tying it into, the storyline and everything and the match itself, but you could tell this match took something out of her emotionally. Thinking about all the times her and Charlotte had when they were friends and going through all this. It was a very real moment. It was kind of amazing to see.
No, I did not see that, so I will seek that out tomorrow to watch it. But that was kind of wild. Like, they started doing all of that build-up footage for it. And I guess I had forgotten. I'm like, A, I can't believe how long they've been around at this point. In some ways, like, they were showing them back in the old days, and it was just like, holy smokes! Like, when did they come up to the main roster?
2015.
Oh, wow!
And they were cast as friends from the beginning. Charlotte turned heel, would eventually go back babyface.
I would imagine that if you've been connected at the hip with someone, and even if they were leaning into the storyline, it's still got to feel a way. as the kids like to say, when you're having that match. I can kind of remember when my buddy who did a poor job of paying his rent had to be removed from my premises, and that was a tough one. Even though he hadn't paid anything, he had meant a lot prior to that, and it was a little rough having to pull that gag. So I can imagine Becky kind of being in a similar headspace there, where you're kind of still expecting more of a positive friendship, and it just does not appear to be in the making. Well, what did we get on Raw that was interesting that resulted from all of these actions from Survivor Series? Was there anything that stood out to you outside of obviously outside of the fan interaction portion of the show?
We got the resolution of the Who Stole the Egg mystery.
If there's something that I was less interested in than the Survivor Series matches themselves, it was the hunt for the egg. Oh, boy. And your boy, Austin Theory, ends up being the one to, I guess, benefit from the situation?
My what now?
Yes, yes. The ironic your boy connotation.
God, that was... What a terrible resolution. Even if you... didn't care in the first place. Still a terrible resolution. I mean, it's that weird push where they put him in these situations, but then he loses. You know, he made it to the second to last eliminated Survivor Series, but he was still, you know, eliminated handily. He gets the WWE Championship match at Raw, but he loses pretty handily. Thank God. I mean, God, I couldn't imagine if Austin Theory was WWE Champion. I don't know if I would continue watching at that point.
It would be really, really tough to have any gumption to watch Raw if Big E lost to Austin Theory.
Yeah. So yeah, no, not good. But I guess they needed some filler, so to keep moving the story along with Big E and Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens.
And
you know, which that was all fine.
And it does, to give them some credit, it does help put a little bit of a salve on Big E getting a win less than 24 hours after eating the loss against Roman Reigns.
Yeah, just give him something to beat. That's fine.
Yeah. Yep, so I do think that kind of helps out a little bit. And, it gives them someone that, I don't get these pushes, and half the time, and I can't believe that this is something that just hit me, you can get this kind of a push and still get cut. Because yeah. that was something that I kind of forgot happened between the time that Jeremy and I recorded and right now when you and I are recording. So, I think that Austin Theory is going to have a little more luck than some more people that got let go that were recently featured on TV. But hey, you never know these days. You never know.
No, you definitely never know.
Oh my gosh, that is wildness.
I forgot that I kind of slipped my mind that happened. in the week since we last recorded. Because there was the releases the week before. There was the releases that we did talk about last week, right?
Correct.
I don't even remember who was on that list. Oh my god! Oh, that's right. That's the one where B-Fab was cut and.
The one that we talked about was B-Fab, but this was.
That's when the Keith Lee got cut. Yes, that's right. Yes, Keith Lee and that crew got cut. Yes, and then this one. Yes, this one. The other three members of Hit Row.
Yes.
Tegan Knox, Jackson Riker, Good Riddance, John Morrison, Shane, what's his name? The guy who was
Mace, Shane Thorne.
Right? Shane Thorne. That's right. Yeah. Shane Thorne. He was Mace. Right?
No, he was
Slapjack.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you've gotten everyone then. Because I finally I finally scrolled to the report. Because
there are so many of these releases, you forget them. My God.
Yeah, it's.
So I forgot that was only the week before. I guess now since these releases are these news of these releases has been hitting on Thursdays recently. Will they let people go on Thanksgiving?
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! That I have definitely instituted at least somewhat of a personal strike on buying WWE stuff because there are certainly other reasons to be on the $5 tier of the Peacock network that involve the wife, so. There are benefits to that outside of the WWE. But would that be some, like, if they, would that be too far? Like, there are a lot of people complaining about it, but I mean, like, would we just completely cut off WWE from coverage and pick something on, like, IWTV to cover or just go to Impact Wrestling?
I don't know. I don't...
Just fold up shop and call it a day.
Oh, they won't. They won't announce releases on Thanksgiving. It'll be tomorrow or Friday.
Oh, yeah. They probably won't announce them on Thanksgiving. I don't think that'll happen. But, whew, man, they have got to be getting, I mean, we joked about them having a bloated roster, and I'm having a hard time believing that it's bloated at this point.
No, it's not. Because they had a very hard time.
Were they, I'm trying to remember if it was they were at 70 with the B-Fab edition of the cuts. And since they added 8 more to that name, that total with this set of cuts, I mean, that's almost that's 78 people.
Yeah.
That's wild. And again, there's probably people that we could say aren't getting enough TV time. I think you could probably argue that, I would imagine.
Yeah. There's always arguments for that. Depending on who your favorites are, who you think should be given more, yes.
So, yeah, that is... I can't believe that another round of cuts happened. But, yeah, at some point you've got to go, okay, you've gotten rid of the fat at this point, right? Like, you still need to have some backups around in case there's injuries and all that other kind of stuff going on, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know anymore. I don't know. I don't know if we're done or not.
Yeah, I guess because you only know, and that's at least a little bit of the hard part. You can see the WWE roster, but you don't know who they have kind of stashed in NXT.
No, and they're going to continue to do more hiring for NXT. I believe there's a tryout scheduled for next month, which will be the one where it's just like that will be the sign of what's to come as far as their hiring practices.
It'll be kind of interesting, I guess, to see what happens down there.
I mean, if it's just a bunch of 6'2" football players and bikini models, then we know where the WWE is going back to their old way of thinking completely.
Yeah, it'll be. I guess it'll be interesting to keep an eye on that. But Yeah. Big E, Raw. I don't care about Riddle versus Ziggler, Bianca, Tamina, Street Profits versus AJ and Omos, Attack. Oh, I guess maybe worth talking about, at least for a little bit. Queen Zelina and Carmella are now your WWE Women's Tag Team Champions.
Yeah, they are. The less than auspicious reign of Rhea Ripley and Nikki A.S.H. came to an end. It was kind of a whimper, much like their entire reign as champions. Yeah, they've given up on this whole Nikki A.S.H. thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well,
they were never behind it, and
yeah, it's almost one of those ones where did you put this on TV just to embarrass her?
I mean, like, the storyline for weeks is that she was essentially useless.
Oh.
And then in the tag title loss, she gets cleaned, and she's been cleaned in the middle of the ring.
Yeah. Not a good look. I guess if you're talking about continued house cleaning, having that on your resume is not the best look.
I know this whole thing didn't work out, but man, if that happened to Nikki, that's one that would genuinely upset me. And there were a few in this last round that I don't know if that Pit Row genuinely is upset me. Going back to that. Tegan Nox upset me. I'm like, oh, that poor girl. She's just had she's fought back him so much.
I can't believe that she was. That might have been her longest stretch of in-ring competition in the WWE before she got cut.
Yeah.
Like that, really which seems kind of wild.
Yeah.
But yeah, I felt bad for her. Hit Row is definitely one that is just like
I feel bad for them. Yeah, and it's the most really, why did you do this? Why they were picked early in the draft too. So at the time you assume they had plans for them.
And if you're I was going to say, I don't even know if you can make the old argument with those guys.
Not at all. Of course not. No.
Because Top Dollar just was playing in the NFL, wasn't he? He's like super green.
Yeah. He'd be probably older than than Swerve and Adonis, I imagine. Yeah, it's a completely weird call. The BFAB release was a weird call, and then, I don't get it. But back to Nikki, Ash, and it would break my heart if they just completely cut bait with Nikki, because maybe this didn't work out, but she's still valuable in my book.
That's one where I won't get it. Like, she just hasn't really. She got to let it rip at the end of NXT there. It's just like, oh my gosh, this is what she can become. And she's kind of been one of those people that ever since getting called up from NXT, things have not gone her direction.
I mean, they were with a team with Alexa Bliss. That worked out well for them. But everything since then has been downhill.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. It hasn't all been bad, but most of it has not been good, because whatchamahicket, I can't even remember that group that she was in with Eric Young and them.
Oh, Sanity?
Sanity, yeah. They get called up and then they're basically off TV for Lord only knows how long.
Yeah.
So did not have an auspicious start, and I also think it's kind of weird that the WWE gave Zelina the queen designation, but now she is going to be part of a tag team for at least the foreseeable future here. Because no one's had a one-night run with the women's tag team championships.
No.
So, I think that's a weird place to put a queen and or king. Like, obviously, Xavier Woods was doing a good job by making Kofi his hand so that he could play into it. Zelina and Carmella is an interesting, weird... It just... It adds to the WWE love of weird and interesting pairings. I don't get what they like about them, but boy, they really do like them. And I guess one other woman to get some get an interesting win. Dana Brooke is your 24/7 champion.
She seems so happy. Her first championship. Whatever. Apparently the talent relations gods have been smiling upon her because she has survived every single release thus far.
Despite being called out by Corey Graves on national TV. And honestly, living up to everything that he said in the match that followed, it's definitely kind of strange. I will always have a special place in my heart for a fellow Golden Flash, but it is, she's on that list of why does she still have employment here? I'm confused. But that being said, the 24/7 championship is kind of like the WWE's broken universe. You can live in that area for an awfully long time and still make a living. So we'll see what happens to Miss Brooke here.
Well, there was one who didn't get to stick around forever in that.
Oh.
That we forgot. We forgot about Drake Maverick.
He must have... Either I did not see that name on the list. Oh, yeah, he was on the list.
Released for the second time. And this time I don't think he's gonna have any kind of a savior. Last time Triple H was his savior, and... as far as we can tell, Triple H is still not back to work after his heart episode, and who knows what position awaits him when he does. So, not around to save Mr. Maverick. You know, decent pickup for any for anyone out there, really. I don't know if AEW is the right spot for him, or if AEW thinks of him that highly. But I'm sure he'll get work.
Yeah. It is kind of getting to that point where even though AEW could use a bump up in quality, probably on some of their secondary shows, they can still only hire so many of these people at this point. And yeah, I'm not sure if Drake Maverick makes the cut. Like, I don't know what new you do with that guy that, you know, he's done in both Impact and the WWE at this juncture.
Yeah, that's a good question.
You know, like, he's an entertaining guy, and, I mean, I guess he could do some type of managerial work if he were up for that. That might be a better role for him at this juncture.
He's obviously thought very well of, because you know who of all people? What was one of the people who shouted him out? When he posted his video about being released, and
Borash.
No, John Cena. That's a pretty high up person. No, oh. Not high enough up enough to save his job, but
yeah, that's a good reference to have on the old resume there. So that is something. Yeah, and I don't think, oh man, the poor Mysterio family. My heart goes out to them.
Oh yeah. Well, Rey deserves better than that. I'll say.
I have no idea what Dominic will become, but he's really been put into an almost impossible to win situation.
Yeah, we've reached the point with Dominic where it's just like they're punishing him for not being what he will be. Like you said.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know that he has some training under his belt, but I'm also probably pretty positive that he shouldn't be on the main roster wrestling at this point either.
I mean, his first match was at SummerSlam, but in the Thunderdome last year. He didn't get to have his first match in front of a crowd until July of this year. I think he's done well, considering that.
And I agree with that, too. All things considered, he's been put in a bad spot. He's been put into a bunch of matches with high-end, very high-end in-ring talent. And he's at least not looked bad. You know, he hasn't carried the matches or anything, but he's also not screwed it up. So you're going, oh my God.
And I don't know how many things should be set rules in wrestling, but one of them should be baby faces should never lose a 2-on-1 handicap match.
I thought there might be some banana peel way that that Bobby Lashley could lose that one. But that did not happen. Like, he had a pretty dominant win over both of them.
Yeah, they are rebuilding Bobby.
The only other match really on the list, it's maybe something to talk about. This interesting transformation that we've gotten, or maybe not transformation, but it does feel like Damian Priest, the Damian Priest character, is taking a slightly different tone here moving forward. Because he's now... he snapped at SummerSlam. And,
Survivor Series.
Or Survivor Series.
Yes, he did. He did snap.
Now he didn't quite...
No, they walked it back on Raw.
Yeah.
Seemingly.
Seemingly, only to have the match have him kind of have a moment where it definitely felt like he snapped and then finished off Sami Zayn in short order after that. So, yeah, I guess it would be interesting to see what they do with Priest moving forward. I guess I thought he was playing his role well, and I didn't think that there was any reason to monkey with it at this point, but they seem to be in the monkey business currently, if in my opinion.
Yes, they're definitely in the monkey business.
So, anything else to say about the WWE before getting out of here?
Nope, I think we're pretty good.
Any pressing AEW matters? I don't think there are.
Nope.
Okie dokie. Well, I decided to continue the summer series here of beers, despite picking up some fresh sour beer this weekend that was extremely tempting to choose for this show. Mirror Twin Brewing, the Oregon Pale. This was a beer that the wife and I swung into, I want to say Lexington, Kentucky, but I can't find the city here on the beer can. But Mirror Twin Brewing has had some excellent beers. This is a nice just... pale ale. Like, there's nothing, anything too crazy about it. Pales do not usually get too fruity. They don't usually get too piney either. So I do tend to like them a little bit more because of the mild hop profile. So if you happen to be down in the Kentucky area, highly suggest trying out Mirror Twin Brewing. At least the three beers that I've tried, a pretty daggone good place to get some beverages. So that is the hashtag Belltime Beer of this very show tonight. I am at DeFrango11. That is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.